They really have helped. There's been some excellent quality programs. Neil Oliver, for example, lots of people are his fans, and that has helped definitely. But why I really wanted to set up my company in the first place and go and get a degree in archaeology so I could do it was because there were too many myths and legends tours about, and I wanted to say that our stuff is just so exciting anyway that we should be celebrating it and telling people about it.
So when you say there have been lots of myths and legend tours, I mean, people know about the myths and legends to do with King Arthur, that kind of thing.
Etc, etc. It's all very fairy tale, and I find that people go away to Disneyland in Paris to go and stand in a plastic castle and look at medieval knights. But over here, we've just got everything. Everything is just wonderful. And if you tell the truth, it's absolutely amazing. You don't have to make anything up. Our history is so fascinating.
So the stories that you share with people are based on fact. It's not stories of Camelot, it's real living people.
Real living people, real finds from archaeology. And as well, it doesn't have to be just what I tell them, it's what they discover for themselves. A lot of people come with their own enthusiasm, their own stories, and we share them. And that's what makes it exciting too. It's a living thing, it really is.
Now, looking at the places where you offer tours, a lot of the places are where I would expect people to want to go. Stonehenge, West Wales, Pembrokeshire, Orkney, Cornwall, Hadrian's Wall. But you're adding Norfolk soon. That really surprised me because it's not somewhere that, with my limited knowledge of archaeology, which goes back to school days, it's not synonymous with archaeological sites.
No, well, archaeology is about all sorts of eras. I mean, I specialise and I love prehistoric archaeology. But there's medieval stuff as well. And in Norfolk, you've got those wonderful Grimes graves where Neolithic people went underground and found flint. That's exciting. I mean, all the medieval architecture there as well. Oh, and all sorts. Saxons, just so much to offer there. The whole of Britain is so exciting. It really is. And I found that people as well, they want to know where they came from. I get lots and lots of visitors from the States and Australia. They want to know where their roots were, how people were living in the past and the areas they were from. So I'm offering all of Britain, really.
How do you cope with people who might come on one of your holidays who have different levels of understanding? Somebody might have perhaps studied archaeology at university. Somebody else might have just picked up the phone and booked with you after they've seen Neil Oliver on telly.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We're all the same. We've all got something to add. As well as me being able to tell people things, it's great to hear their point of view. Some of them might be coming, as I say, because they had ancestors from this country. I've had lots and lots of people from the States this year want to go to Cornwall because they've seen Doc Martin. So we go to Port Isaac and we bring in extra things on Bodmin Moor. We look at standing stones. We look at burial chambers, etc. So it's mix and match. It doesn't have to be anybody particularly intellectual that comes away with me. We just have fun and we enjoy the past. And that's what we do.
Are there certain places that prove more popular, that people are more likely to book out your holidays to than others?
Well, yeah, it depends what's been on telly quite often. As I say, in the States now, they're getting Poldark and Doc Martin. So I've done a lot of Cornwall tours this year. But I really love delivering Pembrokeshire, West Wales. Fantastic. There's always something there and very popular. And Scotland, because you can combine not just archaeology, but wildlife and the scenery too. Everywhere is special and different. I've had a lot of Orkney tours this year. I think there's been publicity about lots of archaeological finds lately on Orkney, so that's helped a lot too.
How do you decide which places to include? Because you've got such a huge breadth of eras. Some of the places you've spoken about have got Neolithic and prehistoric sites. Hadrian's Wall is obviously Roman. So how do you decide what's going to be on an itinerary?
Well, I let the customer decide, really. I take a long time with them planning their holiday. It's very bespoke, although not very expensive, but it is bespoke. And I take time to get to know them, what interests them. Somebody might be interested in the Roman wall, say, and we plan a walk to go with it. But they might also be interested in a few medieval castles on the way or something Neolithic that's just over the border in Scotland. So really, it's up to the customer, and I build around them. It's not just my interest, it's their interest too.
Some of the places that archaeological sites are very well developed, really, with interpretation panels and audio-visual displays. I'm thinking Stonehenge, where you could argue that people can just go up and learn what they need to learn themselves. Do you encourage people to go away from these major tourism draw sites?
We do take people to the less popular sites as well. I mean, quite often I spread a map out on the table in the evenings and we go, oh, look, down that little road there, there's something quite interesting. So we plan things together. But some of the honeypot sites are interesting as well, and they can, as you say, read the interpretation panel. And then we talk about it afterwards and we talk about it while they're there. They're, everywhere's exciting in Britain. We're just so lucky. We have so many sites.
I guess dealing with people, as you will do, some interesting things have happened over the years while you've been leading the tours.
Absolutely. We have so many different customers. As I say, we have people from the States, people from Australia. I've had generals, I've had FBI agents, and I've had writers. And the writers are great fun too, because we're looking for places where characters would live, we're looking for implements for murder, etc. And I remember one night in a hotel reading through with a script writer his script and all being told to be quiet because the whiskey was flowing quite well in the waiting room there. We've had lots of good adventures. And I remember once, because I like to make people feel at home, I did some washing for some girls who were walking off a dike, and they rang me suddenly. It was beginning to rain. And so I set off, but I've realised when I got to them and they pointed at my car that I had their washing hanging up in the front of my car, or their s'mores, etc. So, yeah, things do happen, but we do like to have a laugh as well as look at archaeology.
So are there any sites that you take people to which you reckon are really underrated, and perhaps even places that people wouldn't have widely heard about?
There are some in Wales, yes, in Pembrokeshire. I love Carrig Sampson near where I live. It's an absolutely wonderful burial chamber. Overlooking the sea, you've got Strumble Head behind you, and on a blue day with blue sky, blue sea, it's absolutely perfect. There are so many. Ken Holly, right up in Scotland, in Galloway, I believe it is. That's another fantastic site. There's loads and loads of little Neolithic sites that you can find on the map. And in Ireland too, quite a few undiscovered parts of Ireland.
When people come on one of your holidays, how would the day pan out then? What kind of itinerary would they follow? On average, are people with you for 2 or 3 days or a week?
Yeah, sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks. I mean, usually I find the hotels. I meet them from the airport or from the station, wherever's best for them. And then we stay in nice hotels. We eat nice food. We stop and look at things on the way. If we're going between two places, we find what's on the way to go stop and look at, have a picnic or have a nice lunch. Always make sure there's few loo stops on the way as well. I think comfort's quite important. And so then we visit various sites, and then in the evening, it sounds like I'm all food, doesn't it? But we have a lovely supper in the evening in a comfortable hotel and talk about what we're going to do the next day and what exciting things we've seen today. And I listen to their views as well. So that's interesting.
Is it a pretty much a full-on day then? It's from dawn till dusk, it's archaeology.
Yeah, it can be, yeah. Especially, say, on Orkney, when you've got all that daylight in the middle of June. And we like to visit places when the crowds aren't there. And I know if a cruise ship comes into Orkney, if we can get up first thing in the morning and see the Ring of Brogdon, we got it to ourselves. And then we go back again in the evening and we watch the sun setting over it. So you'd see different aspects. If you're there around, you've got to work around the crowds, and we try and make it exclusive for our people so it's more fun and we get more of an atmosphere. Yeah.
So finally, if you had somebody who was sold on the idea of coming on one of your tours, but they wanted to bring their partner who was a bit kind of not that sure about archaeology, not quite sure whether it was the way they wanted to spend their week's annual holiday, what would you say to try and convince them?
Well, we don't just do archaeology. They might be interested in whiskey, for example. We could do an Isla tour in Jura where they're looking in whiskey distilleries as well. And I'd tell them as well about the beautiful countryside, the wildlife we see, the boat trips we make on the ferries across the islands in Scotland, and the good food and nice hotels. So they don't have to be looking at archaeology all day. But I think they'd find it very interesting if they did.
And where can people go to get more information about what you do, Mary?
Well, I've got a website, www.archeotours.co.uk, or they can contact me at info@archeotours.co.uk.